Welcome to Your Strata Property, the podcast for property owners looking for reliable, accurate, and bite-sized information from an experienced and authoritative source. To access previous episodes and useful strata tips, go to www.yourstrataproperty.com.au.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. I am your host, Amanda Farmer, and I am here each week demystifying the legal complexities of apartment living for you. Often I am doing that with a special guest expert, and regularly my special guest expert is Rena Van Alst from Strata Central. This week, I am bringing you my chat with Rena, held over on the Your Strata Property Facebook page a couple of Fridays ago during what has become our regular happy hour, 4 o'clock Fridays on the Facebook page. It's something that I started just over 2 months ago now when we all went into isolation. I thought you might need a place to go on a Friday afternoon to fill that gap that perhaps you used to spend down at the pub, socializing with colleagues, with friends, enjoying a Friday wind down. We are now doing that virtually using the fabulous technology available to us. Each week, just as I do on the podcast, I have had a special guest to chat with over on Happy Hour, and Rena was my guest a couple of weeks ago. We talked about the new New South Wales Fair Trading Guidelines, specifically when it comes to whether or not a strata committee can resolve to waive interest on overdue strata levies. A little bit of confusion out there about whether we need a general meeting resolution or whether a strata committee resolution is sufficient. I also asked the question, how does one conduct a poll vote where voting is only by pre-meeting electronic voting under the New South Wales Strata Schemes Management Regulation? Can an owner entitled to vote demand a poll when they are pre-meeting electronic voting? And after working through those couple of challenges, Rena and I shifted over to answer some of the questions that were coming up live in the comments section on the Facebook page. Some excellent questions from some rather clever cookies that join us each Friday afternoon. I have picked just two to bring to you today. Firstly, you'll hear Zlata's question about calculating the quorum during an electronic meeting. And you'll also hear Steve's question about how to efficiently conduct a meeting via Zoom. Really practical questions for all of us right now. So I've picked them out especially to bring to you this week on the podcast. If you do want to hear the full happy hour, you will still find the video over on the Facebook page. Just type Your Strata Property into the search bar when you're on Facebook. And of course, if you are a member of our online community, members, you get a copy of each happy hour video over in the members only section of the website. Now, Happy Hour is continuing for the foreseeable future. I can tell you that I have been enjoying it thoroughly, and I have heard from so many of you who are enjoying it too. Every week we have more and more of you turn up, raring to go with your questions. It has also become a great place to get up-to-date, accurate information about what is going on around the country during these unusual times. If you have a recommendation or a special request for a guest you'd like me to chat with on Happy Hour, do let me know. Drop me a line, amanda@yourstrataproperty.com.au. I'm always happy to receive recommendations for guests, either for the podcast or for our Happy Hour. And I want to make sure that I am delivering to you the information you want to know, you need to know, and answering your most pressing strata questions. So don't forget to let me know exactly what they are, so I can get those sorted for you. Now, that is it from me by way of intro this week. I'm going to take you over to my chat with Rena Van Alst. Bear in mind, we were running live, wild and free here, a glass of wine in hand each. I hope you enjoy, and please feel free to join me this Friday, 4 p.m. on the Facebook page. Catch you then.
Yes, Amanda, well, we were actually across this yesterday, Amanda and I, actually, this particular challenge, and it relates to the charging of interest on overdue levies, which we know is a statutory 10% that occurs after 30 days. And the question that I had for Amanda was, a committee was having a motion on their agenda coming up in the next week or so to actually allow no interest to be charged on any overdue levies for 12 months. This was a motion that was put on the agenda by one of the committee members. And Amanda and I have already had this conversation where we have looked up Section 85 and we have noted that basically the Strata Committee had the ability to waive interest. Then I received the link from Fair Trading, which is the updated COVID regulations, and under waiving of interest, it said on two occasions on that link in Fair Trading website that only a general meeting resolution can waive interest. And so I thought to myself, a lot of my clients actually have been, you know, emailing me that link, and I'm thinking, well, the advice that I had given them prior was contrary to that note on the Fair Trading website, and then you and I, Amanda, were having an email exchange about this. So I thought I would just perhaps share this with everybody and see what strata managers were doing out there, what advice was being given, bearing in mind you've got a statutory authority that has this on their website, so it's making it a bit difficult to try and sort of give advice that is contrary to that. But I'll now hand over to you, Amanda.
yeah. So let's talk about this live and, unedited.
Email, but anyway.
What you are talking about, Rena, is this, the Fair Trading Strata and Community Schemes Guidance During COVID-19. This came out last week in New South Wales. I keep saying New South Wales. If that annoys you, those of you who are in New South Wales, viewers, listeners come from far and wide, and I do just want to make sure everybody knows which part of the country I'm talking about, which legislation I'm talking about. I spoke to Jimmy Thompson about this on last week's Happy Hour on Friday. These had just come out, and I gave some of my views. 2 months ago, I was the first one calling for guidance, for guidelines, for government guidelines when it came to COVID and dealing with that problem in our apartment buildings. So I am pleased that the guides are here. I didn't really anticipate that I'd have to be clear that they should be correct. that they should refer to correct legislation. I have had some communications with Fair Trading over the past week about some aspects of this guide that I think are wrong, and not just I think are wrong, that are wrong. And this, I believe, is one of them, Rena. What you're pointing to here, there is a section in this guide that says interest on overdue levies can be waived if the owner's corporation decides in general meeting to pass a resolution and waive that interest. And yes, you and I have talked about this on the podcast before, and we looked at Section 85 of our Strata Schemes Management Act in New South Wales, and that is the section that refers to the ability of an owner's corporation to decide to waive interest. And it does say that Section 85.3 says that an owner's corporation may, by resolution, determine that a contribution is to bear no interest. And we have previously asked each other the question, is that a strata committee resolution or is that a general meeting resolution? And the position that I take is that it can be a strata committee resolution because it doesn't say resolution in general meeting. And you will see if you look closely at Section 85, that the other subsections in 85 do say general meeting resolution. This is the only subsection that does not say general meeting resolution. And we do have another section in our Act that says that a decision of the Strata Committee is a decision of the owner's corporation, and the Strata Committee is only prevented from making decisions that expressly can only be made by an owner's corporation in general meeting. And I do not believe that this is one of them. So I believe, notwithstanding what is in Fair Trading New South Wales guide, that strata committees can, by resolution, agree to waive interest on overdue levies.
Well, that's interesting, Amanda, because yesterday I had an REI strata chapter subcommittee meeting and I raised the same thing with my colleagues on that committee, and I asked them what their thoughts were, and I pointed out the sections of legislation where you just mentioned. And they believe that because the previous Act had the fact that a special resolution was required in the previous Act, and that it would be better for strata managers to err on the side of caution and go to a general meeting. Now, I don't think that's necessarily correct, because I think that, as we've talked about, having general meetings at the moment, unless buildings have resolutions to allow that, it's going to be until the regulations are brought in. And on the fact that I think Strata has actually had to wait nearly 8 weeks just for this amendment to be enacted. I mean, if you look at the Residential Tenancies Act, commercial tenancies, they've all had changes to their regulations done way ahead of Strata. So I think in a sense we are still in limbo.
Yes, and bear in mind we don't have any new legislation or new regulations yet. We have the power now for them to be made.
Yeah. So what's your view, Amanda? When is it better for strata schemes to err on the side of caution, or do you just believe that in terms of the law and the way it's written in the Act that managers should feel comfortable letting their strata committees make that decision?
Well, when you say err on the side of caution, I would have thought that we should be bending over backwards to be able to help people who are in financial strife right now. And that's why this discussion is coming up, because people cannot pay their levies at all or when they're due, some people, and they're going to their strata committees saying, what can we do about the interest? Am I going to be charged interest? And the strata committee is having to make a quick decision and give fast advice. As I read the legislation, there is no express requirement for general meeting resolution, whether that is an error of drafting or not, and that is what the legislation says. And when we've talked about it previously, Rena, I've pointed out that this is a different decision to, for example, offering a discount. If an owners corporation wants to offer a discount for early payment of contributions, then yes, that must be determined at a general meeting. And the legislation says that. It makes that very clear.
And payment plans also have to be approved.
And payment plans, yeah. But to waive interest, one may interpret that as a less serious decision, perhaps a decision with less impact on the owners corporation financially. And it may make sense then for the strata committee to be empowered to be making that decision. I keep talking about the least worst decision in a difficult circumstance. I think the least worst decision here is for the strata committee to pass a resolution waiving that interest pursuant to section 85 subsection 3. Just checking that on my other screen. And if you're having a general meeting anyway, you can ratify that decision if you are concerned, if you think there's going to be a challenge, if a general meeting is coming up, if the regulations have come into effect that allow you to hold that general meeting electronically or otherwise. Remember also now that we can be having these meetings in person. There's nothing that has prevented owners corporations on their private property from holding meetings. The recommendation, of course, have it outside, practice social distancing. We can now gather in groups of 10 in New South Wales. So really, if you are that concerned and it's not too hard to have a general meeting, then go ahead if you like. But my position on this hasn't changed. If the legislature wants to be clear about that, then they have the opportunity to amend that. I'm just seeing a comment here. A couple of interesting comments. Hi, Megan. Nice to see you. Gary says, even if the last general meeting passed the interest, that interest be charged. That is a really good point, Gary. And Rena, we might have talked about that on our last happy hour, it might have been. I'm not sure. Maybe it was with Chris Duggan. What is the situation where an owners corporation may have resolved to, for example, pursue overdue levies? Can the strata committee then make a decision that is contrary to an earlier owners corporation resolution? And our legislation says that it can't. The strata committee cannot act contrary to something the owners corporation has determined. Do you think that the same applies if the general meeting has said interest must be charged?
I would say so, Amanda. But yeah, I would agree with that comment that if the general meeting said interest had to be charged, then the committee would not have the ability to waive that or act in contravention of that resolution.
Yep.
The other thing that I think is coming up too, I think, and I'm not sure if our listeners are having this experience, but in some of our mixed-use developments where the commercial and retail parts of the scheme where there is no BMC and they're part of the strata scheme. Now, we've got some owners and committee members putting forward motions to waive interest for 12 months. Now, the fear, I think, in some of these schemes is that, well, if you put a motion to waive interest for 12 months, then that in a way is going to be a green light for people not to pay their levies, because if there's no penalty for not paying, then why would you pay on time? So my advice has been to strata schemes is really to consider each individual request on a case-by-case basis and not have a blanket approach to all owners, because I think over time, I mean, 12 months is a long time, I think. No one knows what's going to happen in that time period. I know, you know, we all know that JobKeeper is going to be only for a fixed amount of time, and who knows what will happen if it's continued or when people aren't able to sort of, you know, pay, et cetera. But I think my experience has been that best practice would be to take each individual application on a case-by-case basis rather than making a blanket approval, because there are genuine cases of hardship and there's no doubt about that. But I've also seen some people who are sort of, you know, perhaps getting on the bandwagon. And in one particular case, I recommended to the committee that we ask that particular lot owner just for evidence that their tenant hadn't been paying. And, of course, none was forthcoming. So, and then the committee obviously decided, well, there's no evidence that your tenant's not paying. Then why do we need to allow you not to pay interest and even defer levies? So
fair enough.
I think it's sort of one of those things where a blanket approach sometimes may seem the best way to go, but then as time goes on and the financial impact on the strata scheme is being seen to bear, then maybe perhaps we have to not sort of take a blanket approach, but look at each individual application
as it comes. Yeah, I agree with you. And that's definitely the approach that we take in my building. When people do ask for some relief, we require them to explain to us why it is that they require that. And that's always gone well. It's gone smoothly. And if we are reasonable in making that decision and can explain why we do or don't permit the waiver of interest, then people tend to understand. I'm seeing a lot of comments here about people who are pretty much fed up with fair trading. Bill and Ben, it's good to see you. You're saying you trust fair trading, who have a long history for wrong information. Mm-hmm. And yes, when you're before the tribunal, the member often will hold a different view to fair trading. The moral to the story is you can't trust fair trading. And the facade of public confidence in fair trading is just that, a facade. Well, do you know what? I'm a little bit surprised, interested, intrigued by how few lawyers call this out. Can I say that? How few lawyers stand up publicly, whether it's social, whether it's emails, and say, this is wrong. The information is wrong. Of course, there are avenues for these things to be addressed, and we should follow those avenues, and we should write our submissions, and we should lobby for reform. But I think it's important to be telling what I call the punters, you guys, the owners, the strata managers, quickly, especially in a situation like this where guidelines are put out that we've been calling for, and that when they arrive, we say, oh, great, wonderful, let's share these, let's send them out to our owners. Here's all the answers. And I've seen strata managers doing that, it's important that I tell you, well, these parts actually are not correct, and that we are able to do that clearly, we're able to do that confidently. And it would be nice if there was some change then that happened from that. But if there's not, then we just keep spreading the word of what we think is correct and what we think should be perhaps set aside as a suggestion, a serving suggestion.
Totally agree, Amanda. I recall, you know, many times and that owners would ring me and say, oh, but I rang Fair Trading and they've said this. And I said, yeah, well, I've rung them also two different days, two different people and have been told different things, as has been commented by our listeners. But I think when they put something on a website, that's totally wrong. That's a bit, you know, like in terms of, you know, people giving you information over the phone, that's basically hearsay.
Yeah.
But when it's actually documented on a website as part of a recent update, it's a bit worrying, I think.
When you've had 8 weeks to draft it.
Yeah, and then the legislation's actually been out for over three years now, so it's not as if it's new. It's a bit of a worry. I think it's, to me as a manager and not a consumer, but it sort of dampens my belief and trust, I think, in these statutory
institutions. That's right, yeah. Exactly. And that's what I'm seeing in the comments here. I know there's a comment there from Nathan. I just want to acknowledge you, and a few more comments there from Sean. Oh, I'm just seeing Veronica pop in. I'm going to do my little trick here, Veronica. I love how direct you are, Amanda. Thank you, Veronica. I've learned that from someone along the lines. Excellent. Okay. Well, I have a challenge to share as well. This is a challenge when it comes to pre-meeting electronic voting. And we have a number of buildings who are doing this for the first time, having electronic meetings for the first time, dipping their toe into these waters. And of course, it is raising some questions for us as lawyers. I know probably for you too, Rena, as a strata manager. Mm. And I had a cracker of a question this week and I don't have the answer to it. I'm wondering if anybody out there might have the answer to it. Again, relevant to New South Wales, where there is voting that is wholly conducted by way of pre-meeting, electronic voting, is there the ability, is there the right for an owner to call a poll? Now, we know that in a normal general meeting, usual situation, our legislation provides for owners to have the right to call a poll either before the motion is put to the vote or after the motion is put to the vote. And if a poll is demanded, then the vote is calculated on the basis of unit entitlements rather than show of hands. Of course, I'm talking about ordinary resolutions here, not special resolutions, which are always calculated on the basis of unit entitlements. So my client has said to me, there is a meeting happening wholly conducted by pre-meeting electronic voting. I would like to call a poll. I've got a voting form here that I'm supposed to email back. Do I just write it on the form that I want there to be a poll vote on this. What should I do? And I have done my research and I've read Regulation 14 and 15 in the Strata Schemes Management Regulation. They don't hold the answer. I've read some legal commentary on this that says there does not seem to be a provision in our legislation to facilitate poll voting when voting electronically. Have you come across this, Rena?
No, it's the first time, Amanda, that's ever come up. And I think it's a really good question because in a normal meeting, you could do that. And I've done that on many occasions when I've had numbers have been in our favour when I was actually acting for particular owners at general meetings on a consultancy basis. So I think, yeah, it's a very interesting question. And I don't think it's probably been contemplated, Amanda, when the regs were put in terms of electronic voting, how that would work. But I don't know how to preclude it from happening. Because it is a way of voting. It's a form of calculating the vote. So
yes. Yeah. And what's really important, I'm seeing Sean there post that his gut is saying yes, in terms of yes, I imagine, Sean, that you should be permitted to request a poll vote. I am in that camp because when I read Schedule 1 to our Strata Schemes Management Act, I think I got that right. Schedule 1 is for general meetings, Schedule 2 is for committee meetings. It says that when a motion is put to the vote, an owner who is attending a meeting, present, eligible, entitled to vote, has the right to call a poll vote. It doesn't say that that's only at meetings in person. It doesn't say that that's any different for electronic meetings. That is your right. That is if we start from that place and then there is nothing in our regulations that deal with electronic voting that say that poll voting should be prohibited. I'm with Sean. My gut is saying, yes, it should be permitted. How you facilitate that is a little bit tricky. I imagine the only way you can do it is for the owner who is voting to write on the form, I would like this motion to be the result of this motion to be calculated on the basis of a poll. Now, tricky strategically, because if you're trying to go one way or the other, you might not know whether it's a strategically good decision to ask for a poll vote or not, depending on how your unit entitlements fall.
But Amanda, one thing also, so at a meeting, which is in person, the vote can be put and then it can be decided. Yep. And then I, as an owner, can say, hang on, I want this to be determined by poll. So in the case of the poll on the voting form or however it's being done, I don't know how you do it electronically, if you could book comments, but how would it be done by ordinary then, by normal votes, show of hands, one vote per lot, and then UE? And then also I think Gary Bugden, when we first had the legislation come out of matter and we had our seminar at the Masonic Centre back, you know, early in the day, mm-hmm. he discussed with us the fact that this is where I think there could be a lot of problems and manipulation of results. When we're all at the meeting, we can see, you know, put your hand up, you know, calculation, votes, etc. But electronically, I mean, I think that is fraught with some danger if people don't know, you know, or the software doesn't do it correctly or whatever, that, you know, like, how that all would work. I mean, I do agree that it should be able to be done legally, but the practical application of how it is done and how people would know whether it's been done or not, I think would be precarious.
Yeah, I think you would have to, because the right is that you can call for the poll before the motion's put or after, as you say, Rena. So if you were an owner requesting a poll vote on a pre-meeting electronic voting form, you could only really do it on the basis that you'd call for the poll before knowing the result of the, call it the show of hands.
You wouldn't know the result. So yeah. That's why, would it be that normally a poll is called when you know the result that you want hasn't been achieved and you're trying to undo it. That's really the only reason people call poll votes. It's not done for any other reason. So if you don't know what the vote is going to be, would you have called for the poll? I don't know. It's all sort of
problem. Yeah, it really depends on the situation. I am seeing Emiliana is here. Good to see you. Hello. Sean B has arrived. Sean B, I was mentioning you earlier. Do you have an update for us on the regulations under Section 271A? That's my question for you. Melissa, hello. And I'm just scrolling down, Melissa, because I want to call out that you as a strata manager have had this on a written form before. So is that saying you've got a little box to tick if someone wants the vote calculated on a poll, they tick the box? How has that worked out? Have you come unstuck there at any stage? Frank, why not before the vote is declared? Yes, but when we're talking about pre-meeting electronic voting, you only have the opportunity to cast your vote once. So you only have the opportunity to write on the form or to put into the software, however it's done, what you want your vote to be. So you can't wait and see what the result is going to be and then change that vote, which is tricky. And Melissa's saying, yes, we have an error on the form. And hello, Olivia. Goodness. Okay. That, I mean, it's a can of worms, and it is. And I find whenever I look at electronic voting that it's confusing. I actually don't think that the take-up, you tell me, Rena, you're better placed than I am, the take-up's been huge because there's a lot of these what-ifs.
Yeah. Well, I think the ones that I found have worked more is when you actually send out a voting paper than asking people to fill a link. I find that's been more the case. But then again, yeah, I think it's just horses for courses, but I think a physical piece of paper being scanned is a bit more like in terms of evidence, whereas when you have this sort of link thing and you can just click anything, I don't know. That's one, as I said, Gary Bugden mentioned this, and I always think about that when I'm looking at these types of meetings being held.
Yeah, really tricky. And Melissa's just saying now that it's only on votes where they have a good idea how it will end up without the poll. It can be very relevant in small blocks. Yep, I don't know, you're a specialist there, Melissa. I don't know if our friend Matthew Larwood is online, but he did send me a note. I'll just give him a heads up. He sent me a note, I think it was on Facebook, letting me know that he had a particular question for us, Rena, about special resolutions. And I have a feeling that Matthew has some experience when it comes to electronic voting, being part of one of our software platforms. I don't want to say the wrong thing. So Matthew, if you're here, feel free to jump in and I'll pop your question up on the screen for Rena and I to answer. Grant is saying, hello, great, pragmatic, no fear or favor advice about the realities of strata management and strata living. That is us, Grant. That is just the way we roll, right or wrong. Naive or not?
Yeah, I think the other thing is also in terms of self-managed schemes out there, I don't know how many there are out there, but, I mean, how would they be all dealing with this sort of type of pre-meeting? I mean, I think it's hard enough for them to be able just to do normal meetings, let alone there's a pre-meeting. And
Yeah, a lot of them are in my membership forum asking me questions and on platforms like this and trying to find that information. But most of them, Rena, would just be same old, same old. Get the shoebox out. Put the papers in the shoebox, never have a meeting.
Yeah.
So those are our challenges for the week. I'm trying hard not to press the wrong buttons here. Sorry. I'm getting used to my new feature that I have here. We are at your disposal for the next, 15 minutes or so before we start wrapping up, before we get to the bottom of our glasses, and more than happy to answer your questions, your strata questions. Zlata is saying, I will just pop this one up, how many people have to vote electronically to pass motions at an AGM? That is a really, really good question, Zlata, because it comes from who is present, right? So if you're voting electronically, then who is present? Our legislation in New South Wales says that if you have sent in a vote electronically, then you are considered present for the purpose of determining a quorum. And then when we are dealing with special resolutions, for example, which we have to determine based on the basis of unit entitlement, and it is not more than 25% voting against for a special resolution to pass, then it's really important that we know how many people are present so that we can work that out.
Exactly.
So the fact of voting electronically means that you are present, and that is in our legislation in New South Wales. Don't ask me exactly where. Regulation 14, Regulation 15, one of those, Schedule 1. Thank you for that question. These are moving really fast, so I'm just going to jump back over to the comments.
There's one actually, Amanda, I like to think we should talk
please.
About.
Please, yes.
About the Zoom meeting up to 80 people. Does anyone have any tips about controlling that? Yeah, so, I mean, I haven't had a large one yet. I'm about to have one. But what I found, Stephen, is that despite people being able to vote virtually, I haven't found a huge uptake more than the people that would normally turn up physically. That's been my experience, that whether it's AGMs or even committee meetings where we invite other owners to just attend, the same people that would have come physically have come by Zoom electronically. So I'm interested to see if anyone else of our listeners has had that experience, but I haven't found that having more people being able to vote has meant that they actually do vote. Mm. But that's been my experience. I mean, it's only been limited, obviously. I've only had probably about half a dozen Zoom meetings in the last 2 months to give such an opinion, but maybe it's time and that might change. But I'd be actually interested to hear how maybe perhaps any other managers that are on our chat to perhaps give their own experience on that one.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know, Stephen, what time you're conducting the meeting, because that might dictate how many people are available to turn up. But if you assume maybe when I run webinars, I always say I operate on the basis of a 50% show up rate to a webinar. So maybe you'll get 40. You might get a bit less than that. In terms of controlling it, look, the same way that you would control a meeting in person.
Right, better. You can just mute them.
Even better. Exactly. Even better. So having the chairperson, obviously, the person who needs to be running the meeting. And yeah, using that mute button, having some procedural rules or directions or suggestions, if you like, that it can be circulated to people and maybe accessible through a link in the chat box so that you can refer back to them. Sticking to the motion, of course, as you say, if people want to have something to say, yeah, I can see this hat where you've got 60 seconds and then your camera and your microphone get switched off and that's it. Melissa's saying mute everyone, yeah.
You know, also find, Amanda, that sometimes people don't want you to see who they are. Like they just turn off their video on Zoom so you just hear their voice. So and then when they talk, you get, you know, the phone thing coming up. So I'm not sure if our listeners as managers have had that sort of mixed bag of being able to see people, but also some people that don't want to be seen.
Yeah. And I would suggest, Stephen, if you can, I'm not sure if you're a manager or a committee chair or secretary, having somebody there who can assist you if you, yes, you're going to be on Zoom. So having someone who can assist you with answering questions or troubleshooting tech problems in the chat box there and being able to just post things into the box if you need to send links, or I'm just thinking about the way that I run webinars, definitely having helping hands there is a really important thing to plan for. Do go back and check some of these comments in. You're probably more on top of them than I am, because you're getting some really great suggestions from some experienced Strata managers there about what to do. Yep.
From Claire and from Melissa.
Thank you. Yeah, these are experienced players. They've got some good advice.
Thank you for listening to Your Strata Property, the podcast which consistently delivers to property owners reliable and accurate information about their strata property. You can access all the information below this episode via the show notes at www.yourstrataproperty.com.au. You can also ask questions in the comments section, which Amanda will answer in her upcoming episodes. How can Amanda help you today?